This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Damien Barrett has very kindly given us some of his time this morning, and when there's a serious issue around the AFL, we might as well go to a man who can help us work our way through it. Yeah. Good morning, Damien. How are you going?
Yeah, good morning. There is a bit to work through this one as a result of Andrew Wilkie's work in federal parliament last night.
Yes, and I'm assuming he's protected by parliamentary privilege, so whether or not these allegations end up being right or wrong or somewhere in between won't affect Andrew.
No, and I think it's a pertinent point to raise as part of this because that is a reason it's come out this way. Look, I've spoken to the AFL last night that they will, from what I've been told, quite soon release a statement. I'm keen to see the wording around it. I feel I've got a feel for it. And look, of particular, I suppose, pertinence out of that statement, I'd like to see what Peter Harcourt, the chief medical officer at the time, has to say about it. But look, there is a clarity, and hopefully in the next few moments we can wade through some of that and come out the end of the conversation with a bit more clarity than we might have right now.
Suggestion that there was a three-way telephone call between Gil McLachlan, Richard Goyder and Glenn Bartlett around about the time covering off on what was happening at Melbourne. Is there any truth to that? Do we know any more about that conversation? Apparently it's been detailed quite extensively with notes.
Yeah, look, a lot of this story, and again, there's so many layers to this, but part of what we are now reading this morning as a result of Andrew Wilkie in the federal parliament last night has played out publicly, and it is another layer to the Glenn Bartlett situation at the footy club. Quick recap, Glenn Bartlett, former president of the club, was moved from that position in 2021, the year they won the premiership.
And he was moved, Damien, sorry to interrupt, he was moved. So the doctor leaves in 2020, October, they settle with him, and then Bartlett leaves in 2021 in the April. So they've settled with that guy under Bartlett's tenureship. I believe that's true. I hope it is, because I know Bartlett's also very litigious.
Yeah, and that is absolutely pertinent to this conversation and everything we have about him. But it's a layer. What happened last night is a layer to the Glenn Bartlett situation, and I am referring to the litigation that he's levelled against several media, several people at Melbourne, and more to come on that space. So the conversation referenced last night with AFL heavies was part of that initial reporting on the fallout of the football club with the doctor and Glenn Bartlett. So that's an aspect of it. Look, it's a complicated story. Bottom line is, if everyone works backwards from this, there's two drug policies in the AFL system. The WADA one, which is Sports Integrity Australia's domain in the Australian sports context. And then the second one, it's the AFL's own independent drugs policy. Now, nothing that I'm a journalist, and I'm obviously exposed and privy to certain aspects of the system that maybe the public's not. But there's nothing, by way of my reading of it, that we haven't known, that players are taken outside the system. We've known that. I've long been critical of that, Marty, for the AFL establishing this illicit drugs policy in 2005. They brought it in when the West Coast Eagles players were out of control. And they brought it in, I believe, partially to control image around the behaviour. Now, that's 20 years ago, or nearly now ago. It's being reviewed, this policy, and it is a system that they will tell us is based purely on a medical model. I've got reservations about that being the focus of it, because I still think drug taking is drug taking, but that's what they will say
today. It feels like a brand issue for you.
Yeah, it always has been in my eyes. But what I have learned over the 20 years of covering this policy is there is no doubt, and I maybe did not get my head around this initially, there is a medical model component to it, which is very dear to the people involved. So to have a player taken out of the system, as was referred to by Andrew Wilkie last night, we know this. I mean, it's no secret, guys, that this policy has been in place for the best part of 20 years, and not once has the AFL itself ever named and shamed. And that's their phrase, never named nor shamed the player that they have detected for multiple drug use under this system. The times it's come out is when police get involved. And we saw what happened to Jack Ginnivan last year. We saw what happened to Travis Tuck. Now, he's the only player who's actually got the third strike under this system. But the third strike was a police matter, not an AFL one. There's
The other layer here, Damien, sorry to interrupt, mate, is that there's a suggestion that there's players being told to have a rest. WADA might come into the sheds after the match.
Yep.
I'm imagining it's a light hamstring strain or a bit of general soreness. And I can see the media now going back over that injury list in time to have a look if there's repeat offenders having a week off. Like, there's so much grey around this now. We really need... And there, you know, is, what else frustrates me, Damien, about the AFL is how long this investigation will take. If it reflects...
I hear what you're saying. But there's nothing stopping Sports Integrity... Again, I feel I've dealt with this issue for 20 years. There's nothing stopping Sports Integrity Australia making those tests during the week if they choose to anyway. And there's an argument. And again, I've learned to get my head around this side of the argument. There's an argument that, well, okay, if a doctor does know his player's taking an illicit substance during the week, is it more wrong to let him play and then be subjected to what happens to him and others on that ground of play? And then, I mean, look, okay, let's deal with a specific that we can deal with. And then here's a name that we can release publicly, because the WADA testing caught Joel Smith. Now, Joel Smith has got the right to answer that and defend that how he wants to, but he is going to be banned by way of this legislation up to 4 years. I still don't like what the AFL does, and I'm on record as saying that I won't deviate off it. But what they will argue is, are they better protecting the players from that system than exposing them to that Joel Smith has now got and will be out for 4 years? If a player does miss a game for, in brackets, hamstring, I don't like it. I know of players who've missed for hamstrings which have been drug-related, but I've chosen not to name them. Another media has to, be on the medical grounds. And you don't know what they are dealing with at the point in time. I think it's been abused, and I'm happy to say that too. And this is part of this conversation. But that just gives it a layer to it that, has been in play for the best part of 20 years.
Look, it's no doubt it's a big story and it's unfolding, and there's some key players involved in it right from the very top.
Yep.
I understand what you're saying about the medical side of the equation. And look, I'm hearing this for the first time from you, Damien, that this is, I wouldn't say widely known in the media, but I've not heard of this kind of out of sort of, you know, club land testing for illicit substances that is separate to any sort of AFL kind of process. I mean, I knew there was the three strikes rule, which I never liked because, you know, and just plucking a name out of somewhere, you get a Jack Ginnivan, you don't know he's had two strikes, and I'm not saying he has, let me be clear.
Well, he clearly hadn't had two strikes, because when he was exposed publicly by the police, but again, Marty, I'm even dubious about it. They never got it to the two strike stage. Once they got it to one, they took them out of the system. And I'm happy to say that publicly, and I'm sure the AFL won't like me saying that, but I've had that conversation with them over many, many years, including last night. And that's what this gets, this story, when it's all said and done and it's all boiled down. It's a Melbourne Football Club reference last night by way of its introduction to Parliament. But there's an equal acknowledgement in that presentation by Andrew Wilkie that it's an all-off competition thing. And the AFL will argue, and I'm not here to defend them because I've just criticised them here in most of this conversation, but they will argue they are doing what other people aren't doing, and that is testing for it under the medical model. It is under review, and I think they've kicked down the path, this review, into it for some time. But I've got no doubt now that this last night will sharpen up the pace on the review. And by 2025, there's every chance now that we won't even have the illicit drugs policy, and players will be exposed to the Joel Smith situation, where, okay, you don't have that protection because it's causing its own problems. Be subjected to the WADA policy, which is the Sports Integrity Australia one, and the dangers of that are, you do face at some stages a potential 4-year ban at the starting point.
Mate, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's always lovely chatting with you and having a better understanding of what's going on around this issue. I really appreciate it, mate. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
The Marty Sheargold Show on Triple M.